Hello, Pastor David Coleman. So glad that you have tuned in today to the Harvest Worship Center. I believe God has something special that he's going to do in your life. So get your Bible. We're going live into that service. Hear the word of the Lord.
Comes. Amen. Let him know you love him.
We got it where it needs to be. Okay. All right. That sounds more like me, don't it? Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, strife's an attitude. Do you know that? You don't have to necessarily be at odds with somebody. You just feel like you're at odds with them. And you can be in some kind of a situation that way that you don't realize that you're there, but you don't realize why you're not getting answers to prayer. And that could be a reason. I'm just talking to you right now. I'm going somewhere with this, but that's a devastating thing. Where the Bible says, wherever there's strife, there's ever evil work. Anything can happen in that kind of an atmosphere. It is an atmosphere. It makes an atmosphere change. If you're trying to preach in a church, and I'm going to talk to you primarily about unity tonight, and something the Lord dropped in my spirit. Pastor asked me to preach Sunday night, and I said, are you sure? You really sure? I didn't have anything moving on me for about a week or two. You know, usually I get all kinds of stuff and just write it down and know at some point in time I'm going to minister. But I sat down to read and study my Bible, and this all of a sudden just dropped on me. So I'm grateful about that. I think there's some things we'll say will be a help to you. But in order to get that across, you want to make a special effort to keep out of situations that keep you in a strife thing. I mean, you can't strive. The Bible said the servant of the Lord must not strive. And so it's very important for us to learn how to walk in peace. Praise God. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles. I know you know one of the places we're going to go, but we're going to go to Ephesians 4 first, and I want to share something with you there. What if I did my glasses? I don't know what I did with them. Amen. Laying right here looking right straight at me. I need glasses to see my glasses, right? Amen. I remember years ago I had a minister out in Texas say to me, I'm going to get all the preachers together and I'm going to get them unified and we're going to have this. I said, well, good luck on that. Because, you know, one of the things is there's a variety where ministry is concerned. None of us are the same. None of us have the same kind of ministry. None of us minister the same. And the reason for that is because God wants you well-rounded. So he gives us five ministries, and then no pastor is the same. No evangelist is the same. None of us are the same. We're different. That can work for you, and it can work against you. In other words, you might isolate yourself. We just talked to a man on the phone, and he said his wife told him what I wanted to tell him for years. You've isolated yourself. You put yourself in a place of jeopardy. We need others. We need them very desperately. And if we don't have others to speak into our life and to minister to us, then we can find ourselves in a bad situation. So it's very important to understand that. Ephesians 4, 1, let's get on the Word. That's the best thing to go. I got my Bible marked up so much I can't hardly read it. But I, therefore, the prisoner, Paul said, Ephesians 4, 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Hallelujah. How do you do that? In lowliness, in meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, here's the point I want to get to, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring, you got to work at it. You can't, it's not something that you can just do because it takes a whole lot. And then I want to point out something else. He was not talking about a unity of the flesh. You can unify flesh, and we know that the Tower of Babel was built by that type of a thing. So there are certain activities that can happen that will cause you and give you ability to progress in some measure, but you will never progress spiritually as long as you're trying to build with the flesh. Flesh don't build anything more flesh. If you want to have flesh, just act in the flesh, and more of it come. Amen. I wanted to get there and talk about that word endeavoring for just a minute before I go to the actual message. Endeavoring means to use speed to prompt or be prompt to get things back into unity. In other words, when he's saying endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity, it means you've got to give every ounce of speed and don't let strife, don't let it set up, because if you do, if you get in some situation where you are have broken fellowship with someone else, then eventually bitterness can set in. And when bitterness sets in, then there's a root of bitterness. And there comes out of that root of bitterness things that are detrimental to you. You need to guard that. So when he says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, he means for you to get with it. Put the pedal to the metal, hallelujah, amen, and get down with business right away. And so if you don't, things will fester in you. And so it's very important that you understand that this needs to be done. We're talking about unity. Keep that in mind. Because I wanted to pull these notes up because I wanted to get that definition before you where I did with my other notes. You've got two sets. I can't preach them all. I'll just four or five of them at a time. Amen. Are you here? Let's look for page one. There it is. And there's page two. And there's page 25. Page three. You believe me, don't you? You know I can do that. Psalms 133, please. That's where I want to go. And God help us to say to you what he said to us. Through the course of study and getting preparation, because I want to get it across. I never walk into the pulpit confident in my own self. I can tell you that right now, in my ability, put it that way. I know you know the scripture. You've heard it many times. We're going to tear it apart and look at some things about it. He says in Psalms 131:1, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, how good is it? I mean, I'm asking the question, how good is it? I mean, we never seem to achieve it. We achieve it to some level, but I'm talking about unity of the Spirit. Keep that in mind. We never seem to achieve that because we seem to go about that the wrong way. We go about it with our own human efforts, things of that nature, and we don't never get to the place to where we walk in unity, because I'm going to tell you something. We'll see through the course of this message tonight. When we get into unity, that is the God kind of unity, we're going to see some manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit of God in power and anointing. That's really what he's talking about in this particular verses when he says, "How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together." The word there means agreeable. How agreeable and how pleasant or sweet and lovely it is for brethren to dwell or remain or abide together in unity. Now, there's some key words we'll remember to point them out, but like-mindedness, one accord, togetherness, all these are words that are in the Bible that refer to unity. And so I want to kind of, hopefully I'll remember to do that. I got some of them highlighted, some of them I may miss. So we need to dwell together in unity, not just dwell together. See, we can get to, Paul said you can get people together in one place, but it don't mean you're together flowing in the Holy Ghost. You know, some folks just doing whatever they're doing. They come to church because they feel the need to be there or whatever, they're there, and they don't make any endeavor to get over into that realm and move in that Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to precipitate revival and bring any kind of change to your life and mine is a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. And we've got to endeavor to, or give every ounce of strength that we got to get over into that place where God can do something in us and through us and for us, and it comes about when we get together. Now, you're different. I can tell that by looking at you. I can tell the difference between a male and a female. I want you to know that. Amen. I know the difference. Amen. But you're different. You're just, there's something about you that's different than I am. Something about me is different than you are. God put us together in one place. What a person of faith God has to surely be, because he has a diversity. According to what we see in 1 Corinthians 12, there are many members in the body, but none of them are the same. Now, I can't say to the ear, I don't need you, I'm probably not saying this in the sequence that says it, but one part of your body can't say to the other part of your body, we don't need you, we have need of you. And see, we kind of cop that attitude, well, you know, that person don't act exactly right, they don't act like me too well, and we don't kind of flow on the same wavelength, so I don't think I like them. I'll just put up with them, I'll tolerate them, but I'm never going to let myself be welded together with them. I'm not going to be compacted with someone I don't like and someone is different than me. Well, then you probably ought to get a divorce if you're married. Huh? Because that person you're married to, male or female, your case, the male to the female and the female to the male, they're not the same. You thought they were. You say, oh, my, they think like I do. They act like I do. Man, they love exactly what I love. And you've been married 6 months, and you wonder what in the world ever made you do that. Now, no place to be lying tonight. Come on, hallelujah. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to belly up to the bar and take the truth. Praise God, amen. And it's the same way with the church. The church is actually likened to marriage. It really is likened to marriage because God, Paul understood that principle. He understood that, it takes a joining process. You know, I don't like joining because joining sometimes requires something, especially if you people that do carpenter work, you understand if you want to join two places to make something be square and be fit right and exactly right, sometimes it takes some hammer and some nails. It takes some drawing nails to draw it into a place to where it will fit like it ought to be. And some lumber I've worked with, I mean, to tell you, you can stand it up and look at this way and it goes like that. And you wonder, how in the world am I going to get that in there? Well, you just take a hammer and beat the daylights out of it. That's why they put prophets in the body. Amen. That's part of the ministry. So it's the way it goes. It's kind of have to beat you all the way to the glory land. Amen. And so he goes on to say, he said, how good it is. I want to know how good it is. You know, it's hard to achieve. I've been in churches. I'm trying not to tell so many stories, but sometimes stories put windows in your sermons. But I've been in churches where, they were ready to kill one another out in the street. I mean, brother, and you got to preach in that atmosphere, and it is a joy unspeakable and no glory in it. But until you get to the end of the road and they all get repenting, and at the end of the meeting they act like, my, we really love you, we love you so much. Yeah, but about 5 days ago, you didn't love them at all. You wanted to kill them and burn their house down. Amen. Nobody here like that, but all them churches where I used to preach. Now, it is like the precious ointment or anointing. So I want to say something about that. The anointing is the representation of manifestation of the power of God upon our lives that enables us to do what God called us to do. So directly or indirectly, it is a relationship to power. So when we think about the anointing, we think about unity, and we think about coming together in a unified situation, then it releases the anointing or the power of God in a way that doesn't come any other way. You can't make it happen. I wish I could make it happen. There have been places I've been where I sure would have made it happen. I can tell you that right now. I wrote this. It is the precious anointment or anointing and power, put in parentheses, up on the head. Now, you know, I wish I could get around this and say it some other way, but I'm going to tell you something. Churches only go as far as their pastors or their leadership goes. Now, that don't mean there's something wrong with the pastor. Maybe something wrong with the congregation. They don't want to go. Some of you, there'll be heel marks all the way to heaven. We'll get you there by grace, but there'll be heel marks that we can trace them where you come from and where you're going to. Heel marks all the way, dragging you there. But it's listen, the head needs to be worked over just in an individual sense. You need your head worked over. You led by your head, you're dead.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't use your brain. It doesn't mean that God didn't give it to you for the benefit, for your benefit. But it means if you're led by that, that means that emotional realm, the will, excuse me, different things that consist in your soulical realm, they work against you many times. They work against the will of God. They work against faith. The pastor has been preaching about it. They work against faith. You start calling those things that be not as though they were. The first thing you want to say about yourself is, "That's a lie." Well, that's what I have to do for my wife. I have to take it off for her. Thank you. I need something to set this on. I'm afraid I'm going to get something. Okay. It's leaking a little bit. And so the head, he tells us to renew the head, our mind. Get to that place where our mind is in cooperation with everything else. Well, it's part of unity. Because most problems, the Bible said in Romans 13, where it talks about authority, said, let every soul be subject to authority. It's amazing you use the word soul. Because in the soul realm is where you fight the battle. In the soul realm is where you make up your mind whether you want to listen to somebody or do what they say or not. There's a lot of people that I minister to that has a lot of soul, and their soul was so happy when I got in the car and left town because I made their life miserable just for telling them the truth. I mean, you're trying to get them free and help them. But I don't want help. I fight for the right to be stupid, and I'm going to stay that way. Now, excuse me. So it's like the precious anointment upon the head that ran down. See, it starts with headship. It starts with us as leaders. And it flows down to you. And you need to allow that to flow down to you because that is part of the unification process. There's no way you can ever get into that which God wants to do and given to the pastor or leader over you unless you bring yourself into the vision that's on his life or their life and allow that to begin to work inside of you and to unify you with them. And then you have one mind and one purpose and one direction that you're going. And God can work with that, and God will work with that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. You missed it. Amen. And it starts in the head, and it runs down to the corporate body. Now, one of the things that the Lord kind of dealt with me about is about the corporate faith, corporate prayer, and we'll talk about some of those things in a little bit here as we go. But there needs to be some cooperation. Corporate means corporation. We're in cooperation. We're cooperating with God. We're cooperating with God. We're cooperating with His Word. We're cooperating with His principles. And the anointing that comes will do that. And the fact of the matter is that I've seen some places where, like I've said about that, they're so bad that you never thought that God could ever move in them. But somehow or another, God knew something different more than what I knew, and He knew their heart. And He allowed us to preach and teach and bring and do our part, and He brought them together. Now, I'm thinking about one place I was preaching in Northern Virginia years ago. And it all started with me just working in the ministry of the Holy Ghost and called a woman, I pointed a woman out in the seat and said, "Sister, you got a Sith and growth on your ovary and the Lord's healing you right now." And she turned into jello and just slid right out of her seat and down into the floor. Well, you'd think everybody'd be happy about that, but there was some that weren't happy. And a couple of nights later, somebody come to me and said, "Brother Hughes, I don't like this when they do this. I don't like it. It makes me mad. I almost lose my sanctification over it." Don't act like you've never done it. Amen. But hey, I need an answer from the Lord. I just want you to tell me what the Lord says. I thought, I'm not a root worker, and I'm not a soothsayer, and I ain't going to tell you nothing. I can made my mind up. I wasn't going to say a word to that person. I didn't know what they were after, what they were looking for, but they weren't going to get it from me because I ain't going to enter into some familiar spirit. And so I'm in prayer. God don't do this to me very often. I think people think God does it all the time, but He don't. But sometimes He does. And I'm praying, and the Lord said, "That woman that come to you said she thinks that first lady that you prayed for has got a devil in her. And she don't have a devil in her. And the answer to her question is no." I never had God be that specific with me before. So I went back to service, and I thought, well, how am I going to administer that? I mean, you know, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. You'll ever get killed doing something like that. But I'm just preaching away. And that was back when I was a little bit younger and a whole lot more limber. I jumped on the pews and walked on the backs of benches and jumped in people's laps and everything else. And I jumped over the seat and jumped right up in front of that woman, stuck my finger in her face and said, "The answer to your question is no," and jumped down and turned away before she had could hit me. You know what I'm saying? If I'd have smacked her alongside the head with a big old wet fish, I couldn't have got any more response. Found out through the course of that service that her and a group of ladies were in odds with this other lady. And they, one of them saw her in some kind of a dream or pizza vision, whatever it was, in some kind of a black mesh somewhere doing something religious. And you could tell just by looking at the lady that got healed, that I don't think that ever occurred to her. But they had a regime against her. They were, and the pastor wanted to tell me about it. As soon as I got there, he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, I got this." I said, "Don't tell me nothing. I don't want to know nothing. Nothing. Not nil. Nit. Nothing." And so he didn't tell me. And so I got right in the middle of that mess, right in the middle of it. If I would have known what I knew after that meeting was over, I would have went to the back to the room, packed my suitcase, tell the pastor to get another evangelist, I'm leaving. But God got in the middle of it. And when he got in the middle of it, people started repenting, the Spirit of God began to bring about a spiritual unity. That church, he told me later, said I was ready to close the doors. It was so bad. Everybody said, "I want to be a prophet." Well, that's part of it right there. You're getting messages just like that. And so the last night, here comes some lady up who was the instigator of the whole thing. She come up and said, "Brother Hughes," she didn't know I knew. I knew by the Spirit, but I didn't know any other way. And she told me what I knew by the Spirit. She said, "There's a certain person in this church, and we yada, 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 and we think that she's got, she has a demon, and yada, 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 yada." And she went through that, and I said, "Well," I forget how I said it to her, but basically I said, "Well, just pray for her, forgive her and pray for her." "Well, I believe she has it, and I'm not going to change." And before I knew what I was doing, I had my hand out of my pocket, because I had it in my pocket, up under her nose, and I said, "The problem with you is you're full of pride and you don't want to deal with this." I heard it going out. It sounded like a trigger going out of them high heels. But God, he got rid of the strife and he unified the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the kind of stuff that happens, you see, when the anointing comes. Only the Spirit of God can achieve that kind of effect. I couldn't do that. There wouldn't be nothing in my realm of expertise, whatever that is, that could do that. I don't know how to do it. The way I feel about it, I've had a pastor, seen some of them getting strife in the church. I want to say, just go out in the streets and fight it out, and I'll pray for the one left over. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it's the only way you seem to ever get a conclusion. Amen. Now, none of you are like that. All those people stayed home tonight, but... All right, now. So he says that it's like the dew of Hermon. It's like the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, which is a type of the church. Where's there? There in that presence of the anointing of God, there in that unity and unity of anointing, unity of the Spirit, there in that, the Lord commands blessing. Forevermore. What are those blessings forevermore? The blessing of eternal life forever. That's what he's saying. In other words, if you want to get to heaven, you better clean up your act. Right. Amen. Amen. Are we here? It's a pity we ain't recording this. Oh, we are recording. Played Sunday morning for the credits not here. Anyway. Amen. Now, Philippians 2, please. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to show you some things there. I'm going to show you how it works, if I can. Using an individual situation, but at the same time, it's corporately the same. Because, listen, there's no stronger faith than corporate faith. If you can get us all on the same wavelength, get us all in the same, flowing in the same direction, and my definition of fellowship is two fellows in the same ship going the same direction at the same time. In this case, it would take a big boat, but the fact of the matter is we're all going in the same direction. We're heading that direction. And so I want you to see it from that perspective. Now listen, Philippians 2:1, he said, 2:2, he said, fulfill you my joy. It's a joy to Paul that you be like-minded. He wouldn't say that if it's not achievable. He wouldn't, the Bible wouldn't say something like that. But the Bible did say it, so that means we can be like-minded. And we're going to see what that is. And be and having the same love. Well, there's levels, I suppose, of love. You can say it that way. Some people love a little bit different than, a little more shallow than others. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people dwell in human love, but the love of God is the same. And the Bible said in Romans 5:5, that shed, and hope it make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So that means we have access to it. I've had a situation with a man, did me much evil. I tell you the honest God truth, I'm telling you the truth when I say this. I wanted to burn his house down. I did not, he did me so much evil, and I thought, God, I can't meet him on the street and act civil toward him. I can't hide my actions anyway. I mean, if I'm mad, I'm mad. You know, I put a mask on, I guess, and go back to acting like a COVID victim and wear a mask. But anyway, I said, God, I absolutely, what he did, the Lord said to me, he's like Alexander the coppersmith. He did you much evil. I'll reward him for his works. And you don't hear that part. But the other part, boy, I was upset about him. I thought, if I see him on the street, I can't treat him like a human being. I want to haul off and slap him flat. I said, I can't. So I was at my office in church. I thought, I'm going home. I'm going to lock myself in a room. I ain't going to eat a thing. I'm not going to drink nothing until I get myself to a point to where I can see him and I know I will act in love toward him. And I'm going to stay there until I know I've got that conquered. I wasn't in there long because I settled the issue. Because I couldn't do it. There's no way I could possibly do it in the natural, because it did me much evil, much evil. I ain't going in that story, but anyway, and he's still going, but you don't boast putting off your armor like you, don't boast putting on your armor like those who took it off. You know, there's a day coming, and when he gets to heaven, I'm going to be standing there waiting for him. If I go before him, and the Lord's going to say, you're going to sit under Brother Hughes, and he's going to teach you what he wanted to teach you on the earth, but you wouldn't listen. Oh, Robert swears him down. He's going to be the mayor of Tulsa. So, amen. Amen. Amen, maybe. But be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. So those are three words that are used, like-minded. Same, the word same, that's kind of in there, and one accord. You know, see, the Holy Ghost is the same spirit. He's not a different spirit. Why can you have one part of him and why can you just love and not love with him? You can't do it. He's the same. In other words, what I'm trying to say is he will do the same for everyone. He will give you the same love. Now listen, then drop down to verse 19, because we're going to see this in the life of Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus, verse 19, 2:19, the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also will be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded or similar spirit. I like that particular definition, because we're talking about unity of the spirit. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you. One of the words in the Greek for power is inherent, not inherited. Inherent power, which means supernatural ability to walk in supernatural things. We're partakers of divine nature. That's what it means. We're partakers of that kind of a nature. We have that which is in us, inherently in us, because we're born again sons of God. We're new creations. To as many as receive him, to them gave he the power, the inherent power, to become sons of God. We have the power to become sons and daughters of God. Have the power to walk in a level of maturity that sometimes we're not walking in when we're not in unity. See, look at your neighbor and say amen. Amen. And then tell them, say amen back at you. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you. He's talking about Timothy, talking about walking in unity. For all seek their own. Let's just stop there for a minute. All seek their own. Do you know what? That's one of the things, one of those scriptures that scare me in Matthew 7, where he says, there'll be many stand before him in that day, saying, Lord, I've cast out devils and I've done many wonderful works in your name and this and yada, yada, yada. And they say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. The word iniquity there actually means do your own thing, doing your own thing, for I never knew you or had an intimate relationship with you. Huh? I don't know who you are intimately. See, I don't know how in the world we could possibly know God on an intimate level and not be like God the way he wants us to be. But Timothy had captured that particular part, and he was able to flow with the Apostle Paul, which I am convinced to believe Paul would not have been so easy to flow with. Because he told the church at Corinth, looky. It's an Oklahoma word, by the way. Looky. I'm coming. How is it? Would you like me to come? You want me to come and love? Would you like me to bring a rod? Let me have that cane just a minute. Thank you. Can I use your cane? Yeah. How you want me to come? Well, you want me to come and love, or you? I better not swing it. I think it might fly apart and hit somebody in the head. Yeah. Reach out there and get you, brother, a neck and pull you up and you know, a couple of, would you like me to do that? No, you wouldn't, and they didn't either. But Paul was a very tough, demanding person because he liked to work, brother. He was not lazy. Huh? Faith works. Huh? Are you out there? Faith works. Now, I know many of you are involved in the church and do all kinds of things. That's wonderful and good. But here's the thing about it is, while you're doing that, don't lose contact with the reality of who he is. Don't lose that. Go ahead and do the other. That's part of it. That's a good part. But the thing about it is you can lose it. You can be just like I had the privilege of meeting Roxanne Brandt's sister, who's both of her and Roxanne Brandt was a concert pianist. She had a ministry similar to Catherine Kuhlman. She's got a book out called Ministering to the Lord. Every believer ought to have a copy of that and ought to read it at least once a year, if not more than that. But she talked about she was in a place in somewhere up in the Northeast ministering, and she saw Jesus standing, and he was crying. People were worshiping. They had their hands up. They were doing everything that Pentecostal people do. They were worshiping, going through all the motions. But she said, he was crying. She said, well, Lord, what are you crying about? He said, they're not ministering to me. I mean, that puts a whole new wrinkle in it, doesn't it? I mean, you come to church and you think about, well, I'm going to go through praise, I'm going to go through worship and do all that, but you're not in contact with what God wants you to be in contact with, the one he wants you to be in contact with. He wants you to leave here different than the way you came. That's why we absolutely have to learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost. I mean flow. It means we can't always do what we want to. I tell you what, we one little sister, I probably told this here, but one little sister, one of our spiritual children in Florida, she told us on the phone the other day when she talked to us, she said, something you said absolutely changed my whole life. And I was telling, and I said, I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe it helps somebody else. But when I pastored, one Wednesday night, this started. I don't even know what made this happen. It just started this way. And then we started having a move of God like you can't imagine. And I just walked to the pulpit, and the Lord said, I want you to pray in tongues. I tell you to quit. Just stand there and pray in tongues. That messes some people's theology, you know that? Yeah, it does. And so I just stood there and prayed in the Holy Ghost for about 45 minutes. And I said, good night. And left and went home. We don't need me to say anymore. What can I say? She said, when you said that, I'd never heard anything like that. It challenged me to go beyond what I was and look for something at me. And then after that, I had my eye open the second time, watching to see what everybody was doing. They're just looking around, you know, and paying a bit of attention. But we started having an outpouring of the Holy Ghost with the Spirit of God come on Sunday morning, brother, and a lot of churches are deader than 4 o'clock. They're drier than last year's bird nest. and no move of the Holy Ghost in there whatsoever. And we started having to, I want to hang a sign up saying, enter at your own risk, because it was that kind of a flow. Well, you had people filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered from demon power, and if I got to preach, I was lucky for a season. I believe in the preaching of the Word. I believe you need to be taught the Word. I believe that. But I tell you something, there's nothing that can take first place to the Holy Ghost, the moving of the Spirit of God. You have to have it. That's what you're looking for right here. You don't know what you're looking for. You have no idea exactly what you're going to experience when that happens. You don't know whether God's going to turn you inside out, upside down, over and over, flip you backwards, or fly you through the air. You have no clue about what God's going to do. I don't have no clue about what He's going to do. All I know is that He's got to be allowed to operate and flow that way. If He's not allowed to operate and flow that way, you're never going to see it. You're never going to see it. And that's not a negative confession. That's a fact. Come on here. Shout amen. Amen. I got to take a few side roads. This is one of them, I guess. He said, for all seek their own. What? You know, I heard one person say, well-known person. I said, you know, who was it? Wrote an article. I read it. I read it. I know they said it. After all, worship is for a me. It ain't for you, you dumbhead. It's for Him. Come on here. It'll help you, yeah. It'll do that. But worship is for Him and to Him, for Him. That's where it goes. That's who belongs to. He's the only one worthy, thank God. Nobody else is. Well-known pastor's wife said that. I couldn't believe it, but then I could believe it. You know, because there are some flows of the Holy Ghost that scare the daylights out of you, buddy. I might just, that one where we raise hell, brother. Amen. All right. R-A-Z-E, just in case you know. He said, now listen, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of Him that as a, now here's the unity part, as a son with the Father, He has served me in the gospel. So there was a unified place taking place, a unity taking place between Him and Paul as a son and a father, and the word proof is character. We know the character of Him. You know the character of Him, that as the son with the Father, He has served me. We know that. In other words, we're known by our character. Kind of character you are. You say that guy's a character, or he acts like a character. Well, that's, you know, whatever that means. That's what it does. Now, we have the same spirit of faith. It's called corporate faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 said we have the same spirit of faith and we speak. It's a church. It's a corporate faith. We have like precious faith. All that's involved with unity. Now, Acts 1:14 said these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's the early church. That's how they started out. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And you know, it was before that the Spirit of God fell that they did that. So there is a side where you have to give yourself to that from a natural perspective in order to position yourself to where God can move upon you by His Spirit. That means that when you have prayer, you need to be here. You know, unless there's some reason why you can't be, you should be here and be involved in it. I know most of you probably are, but some, you know, need to hear this, maybe not. But they didn't just pray, they continued. Huh? Are we out there? With one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, you're very familiar with this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, that's a key word, they, that'll be a key word in other places, were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord in one place. They were unified. When the Spirit of God fell on them, as much as they possibly could be, they were unified. And then chapter 2, verse 46, they continued daily. They continue daily with one accord. That's a miracle, that you can be daily in one accord. I mean, it varies from one day to the next. Daily they were with one accord. Now, how do you think they did that? Because they hung around with Jesus? Well, that didn't hurt them any. But I tell you, the fact that that's achieved because of the work of the Spirit of God was working in them. It brought that about that way. I want you to understand something. That's why I'm really talking about this, is because I really, if I have any one thing I really am after, I'm after a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't always know what it's going to be, but I'm after that. Hallelujah. So just so you know where I'm coming from, it may help you a little bit. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Say temple, which means church. Breaking bread from house to house, they'd eat their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart. They eat and they took what they got. They took their spiritual meat, they eat it, and they eat it with gladness of heart. Acts 4:24. Now, I like to talk about this chapter, and that's only, I'm not going to read it all. But Acts 24 is where they were called on the carpet for getting a man healed at the gate beautiful. And they were under scrutiny and about ready to, you know, to... had gone through some beatings and some things like that in order to stop them from doing it. And here they got together at the end of that. They didn't let that get them down. They got together and they prayed Psalms 2. And they said, and when they had heard that, they lifted up. I'm encouraging you to read Acts 4. I mean, I'm only reading verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. This means united declaration. And said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea and all is in the midst. So here they are. We call this united prayer because they're connected together, they're united. They're one in spirit. They're doing something by direction of the Holy Ghost. It may not look like it to those standing around, but they were declaring the word of God. They were declaring it over that situation. They were saying it unified. The Bible, when you read the whole story, the Bible said there came a point when the power of God fell in such a way that the place was shaken. It was agitated. That's what that word really means. Agitated, just like an old wash machine. It shook them up. It shook them. It shook that place. There's a whole lot. Elvis didn't start rock and roll. They started in Acts 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Rock and roll. I don't care how much he shakes his pelvis. It ain't going to make no rock and roll like that. I can tell you that right now. Hallelujah. Amen. And it came to pass in 1 Corinthians 1:10, here's something kind of goes along with it. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, which they did, and that there be no division among you, but that you be, watch this, perfectly joined together. Perfectly. Perfectly arranged together. Perfectly joined. Now that you've been married a while, you're getting more like a perfectly joined person, aren't you? Huh? Are you out there, or are you afraid to say anything? Yeah, huh? You're perfectly joined. You're more joined than you were. It's amazing. My wife would say something to me, and I'm thinking that already, or I'll say something to her, and she's thinking that already. We've been together so long that we think alike. But here's the point. Is, hey, after a while, you begin to look alike, and I'm praying, God, don't let her look like me. Help her, Jesus. Help her. Keep her pretty like she is. Amen. Amen. So they're perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That can't be achieved apart from the Holy Ghost. You can't make it happen. What I want you to understand is that you've got to understand what the Word says, and that you have to relate yourself to this. You've got to put away things that undermine that connection between you and the Spirit of God, and get yourself in a place where you can be spiritual. You ain't going to be perfectly spiritual. You're still working on that. I can tell by looking at some of you. And you're looking back at me and say, yeah, well, you know, you need it too. But now watch. Here's what happens when we get together and pray, make united declaration, come to a place that we're perfectly joined together by the work of the Spirit of God. It means to put in order or to complete. That's what that word there, joined, means. But in the Old Testament, there's a type. Second Chronicles 5:13 said it came to pass, even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound. Now, see, that for people who worship, you know, I'm assuming it's like this. It would be for me. I led it in our church. I wanted the song of the Lord. I didn't care if I had to sing it 25 times, as long as it had a flow of the Holy Ghost in it, I would sing it. And that's kind of how it was. But to make one sound, what sound are we trying to make? We're trying to make that joyful sound. We're trying to catch, worship teams try to catch that which the Spirit of God is saying, because that's what precipitates worship. That's what makes it happen. You can get the wrong song and mess up everything. You can get the wrong song leaders and mess up everything. I ain't correcting nothing. I'm just telling you how it is. And sometimes I was at a church, I think I probably told you this story, and they had four or five people leading the worship, and none of them sang in the same key. One of them was in B flat, and another was in a sharp, and I don't know, some of them was in a key that ain't never been invented. And had an old piano sitting over in the corner, and I play a little bit, you know. And I thought, well, I'm going to get over and sit down on that old piano and come down on them keys and see if I can get them all flowing in a song, you know. And so I hit the keys, and the termites had fixed that piano where it could never work again. The keys went down, never come back. I said, oh, God. Any hope of a move of the Holy Ghost in this place is nil, none. It's not going to happen. Much to my chagrin, I found out that ain't all there is involved. Those people couldn't sing in tune. They couldn't carry a tune in a wooden bucket. Huh? But there's something in their heart that was right. You know, you got to judge on the basis of intent, not on the basis of ignorance. You might write that down. Because there are some people have some intent. They're ignorant. They can't do some things. They don't have no. Some people they can't sing. Like one fellow said, I used to sing till I heard you sing. I used to pray that I could sing till I heard you. Now I pray for you to sing. Amen. But all this is a part of the unifying process, and it's a part of the move of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, it says they were as one, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God, thanking the Lord rather. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For His good, for His mercy endures forever, forever." His mercy endures forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. I like that word even. It was added, but it's in there. I mean, if the glory comes, it ought to be in the house of God. But sometimes you can say, even in the house of God it came. Huh? I mean, you're totally surprised. You're going there, just like that group I'm talking about. I'm totally surprised. We had a move of God, had people saved, had people filled with the Holy Ghost, people healed by the power of God, and it sounded like a bunch of frogs that had a bad case of croup. Ribbit. You know? And one guy was dressed in black and thought he was Johnny Cash. Well, okay, that's funny, even if you didn't like it. Now, verse 14 said, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud for the glory. Now, Pastor, you wouldn't mind if people worshiped to the point that you just fell down and couldn't get up and preach. You wouldn't mind it, would you? It wouldn't bother you at all. It wouldn't bother me if I just fell over in the floor. If you started, got up and started around and said, well, we're tired of hearing your preaching. We had all we can take. We're just going to praise and see if we can get you shut up. Help yourself, darling. I've been the cause of unity in a lot of churches. Everybody hated one another until I came, and they all hated me. And then they became unified. Hallelujah. Huh? Join the crowd. Praise God. Take a number. Get in line. Amen. But they couldn't stand. It's amazing to think about that. Now, there's another portion of Scripture that I want you to get, because this is something Jesus prayed for us. And it's in John 17, verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. So if you want to turn, you can. But listen, I've got it on paper. Neither pray I for these, it's plural, these alone, but for them, emphasize that, also which shall believe on me through their word. So that means us, okay? That they all, they is the key word, may be one or unified, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Listen, the world is looking for that kind of a thing in the church. The church is divided by denominations. It's divided by religion. It's divided by numbers of things. And the world wants to see something. When the world sees that church marching as one, and that's what Joel said, at that outpouring of the last days would be such that we would march and not break ranks. Huh? We get lined up, glory to God, and that may have a more prophetic significance, but I'm using it this way tonight. We get to all marching in with the same cadence, all marching with the same tune, going with one sound, going in the one flow, moving in the Holy Ghost. Then the world is going to look at that and say, we got to have some of that because they are divided, they're confused, they're messed up. They don't have an answer for nothing that they're dealing with, but we have it. They get drunk because they don't know they can get drunk in church. I didn't say bring you liquor. I said get drunk in church. Huh? What do you think the book of Acts started off with people getting drunk for so we could say, well, they got drunk on the day of Pentecost. But what about you? Are you willing to let God, to let the Lord get on you and hold and roll you? When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I rolled all the way across the front of the church in front of my family, which don't make no difference. I was a holy roller. Well, I was working at being holy anyway. Now, holy roller. Now, you're here, you're jumping so much I can't understand it. Watch what he said. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, and the Bible, and the people said, and the glory, and the glory, said again. Look at your neighbor and say, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. So the point is, if it's already been given, it's available, it's accessible, what do we got to do to get to it? We have to allow the work of the Holy Ghost to make us one. Now I'm working here tonight. I'm preaching. I'm working tonight. That's okay, because I knew it would be when I chose this message. But because don't take this as an indictment. Take this as an encouragement. Take this as something that you can learn from as much as you can learn from it. And say, God, help me to do my part to get where I need to be because we need the glory of God. Let me tell you something. It's too much laborious work in church and religion. We're trying to work to make things happen when we need to learn how to rest. There is a rest. And it's in the glory cloud of God Almighty. That's where you rest at. You cease from your own labor, cease from doing your own thing, cease from seeking your own stuff, and you enter over into that place where you rest in the glory of God. And it's just, pardon this crude illustration, but you become slick as snot on a brass doorknob. I know that's crude, but you'll never forget it. Huh? It should just flow, not as messy. And then again, whoever told you a move of God wouldn't be messy? These folks right here were in a move of God. We was in for 7 months. It was messy, wasn't it? We had liars, we had thieves, we had drug addicts, we had all kinds of stuff in that meeting. But we had a move of God. Because you want a move of God, it's not going to be perfect. Religion wants it perfect, but God says, I want them just as they are. I'll fix them up where they, you know, what's that little saying you like coming to the church? What's other, you saw it somewhere in the church, you don't remember now. But anyway, you come to church, change clothes inside, yeah. Come as you are and change clothes inside. We saw a sign like that. That's exactly what you do. You come as you are, and in that glory cloud, you change. There's things that God can speak out of his presence that you will receive no other time because you have been tenderized by the glory of God and you're opened by the glory of God and you come into it and God can talk to you in a way that he can talk to you because you're occupied with your own mind. There's a scripture I love in the book of Job, and I just read through the book of Job, and I don't know if I'll say it exactly right, but he says, God, when deep sleep falls upon man, he comes and seals their instructions on the inside of them while they're asleep. In other words, God's got to get you quiet so he can talk to you. Do you know you come to church? You come to church with all kinds of situations and difficulties you're dealing with, and you've got things on your mind. And we've had some on ours. I ain't been a very good church member myself, you know, because of we're dealing some things with our son and cancer. And so I've had a lot of that working on my mind. But you come with all of that stuff on your mind, and you need to enter in to the point to where you get to a place of peace and rest, and then you can worship God. Then you can seek God. Then you can enter into the glory of God, and you can see the power of God. You can see it. But you come agitated and all upset about certain things, whatever. I mean, after all, I got up this morning, and my toenail was messed up and I didn't feel very good, so I couldn't praise God at church. My toenail hurt. Don't look at me in that Stuart look. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just about done. About another hour and a half ought to be done. Now watch this. This is very important. And he said, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one. They may be one. You see what I'm saying to you? Spiritual unity is achieved by the glory cloud of the presence of God. Oh, the Spirit of God is one and the same. Even as we are one. So here's what I want to say, tell you. He says, I'm going to give you the glory that will make you one like him and the Father one. Let me say this. I wrote this down. This is probably not the way I would like to say it, but it's the best I can say it. When you look at the Father, you look at the Son. They are distinctively different, each person, but you cannot tell where one begins nor the other let off. If you saw God the Father and God the Son together, actually some of the Greek renderings talk about how that he come out of the Father. He was in the Father. There's a point where he's going to go back into the Father in a way I don't know if I can understand or explain it to you. But he proceeded out of the Father. Him and the Father were one, and yet there were three different personalities. I don't believe in two-less or oneness, whatever you want to call it. I believe in, you know, I call them two-less. Some people... or two less or do less. But anyway, let me get off of that. So he says, I'm going to give you the glory so that you will be in one another, so to speak. That's for want of a better way to say it, you'll be so connected with, so compacted by the working of the Spirit of God that when people look at us, they say that church is one. They're flowing together. They've got a hold of it. They're doing something that makes me see the power of God working in them. Makes me see the character of God in them. That's because we're prayed to be one like Him and the Father are one. We're compacted again, compacted, tempered, welded by whatever joint supplies. So your supply of what you're to contribute to the work here or where you'll be working, where you're ministering at, is that's your supply. You are, that's your contribution. If you don't fulfill that, then we are less that supply. Am I preaching over your head? Are you quieter than a church mouse? I don't think it's that deep. Are you hearing me tonight? Are you here tonight? Are you really listening? All right, good. Now, praise God. I'm about through. Just a few more. I'll go through these quickly. The Bible said in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with word of God with boldness. And that's what comes out of it. When you get in that presence and in that unified presence and that Spirit of God, brother, you will declare the Word of God with boldness. And when you witness, you will do it with boldness because everything in you has become godlike. You've taken on the image of God. Amen. That's the best way I can say it. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of those that all of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And by the hands of the apostles, all that's happened by unity, when they got unified, then Acts chapter 5, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's temple. Amen? And so we're laborers together. Workers together, the scripture says. Not one of us can say we don't need the other one. We need one another. The Bible said in in 1 Corinthians 14, when they come together, they had a psalm, had a doctrine, had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation. He didn't say not do it. He said, let all things be done unto edifying. Or in other words, allow the Holy Spirit to flow to the point that it brings edification. If it ceases to bring edification, then that's another story. We raised up together to set together with him in heavenly places. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm sitting with Jesus in heavenly places. And they're built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I'm going into this next couple of verses. And the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. Fitly framed together fitly framed together. Get the hammer and the draw nails and frame it together. Groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I could start a description and preach backwards. We want this place to grow. We want it to be full. We want it to be have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of people. It would be perfectly all right for God if you just expand the sanctuary to see a couple thousand. It would be all right, or whatever else God wants to do. But you want it to grow. But you got to be fitly framed together. Get in your place, stay there, and let God keep you there, and don't grumble. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Man, and he said, in whom you also are builded together. Here's the clincher. For a habitation of God through the Spirit. Actually, Thayer's Greek says, holy of holies for a habitation. We are to be the holy of holies. Not the not holy. Holy of holies. The mercy seat. That's what we're to be. That's what God wants to. He wants to come down. I'm trying to think of a scripture, and I know it well, but I can't think of it right now. He enthrones upon the praises of his people. Is that the way it goes? Something similar to that? God, I'll say that. Inhabits the praise of people. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he comes. He enthrones himself upon us. He said, we're built. You weren't built just to come here and play church and go through the motions every week. You're built for God to come and dwell among you. Listen, God's got tired of this stuff of people saying, well, God's doing this, God that, and he's moving on. And he wants to come and prove to you who he is. He wants to do it. If he comes, you'll know who he is. You'll know him when he comes. You'll know him because you're his sheep. Hallelujah, amen. So we're building together. We're hammered. We're tempered. He's worked us over real good. He's putting us together. And that person that you have in here you don't like, he's the sandpaper or she's the sandpaper, and you're the wood. Are you out there? And they rub you raw. But they're not fitting. You're not fitting. Things are not fitting. But you keep on sanding. After a while, it fits. Just flow around in place, and pretty soon they begin to walk in love and act like Christians ought to act, and whatever else. Being knit together. I didn't know exactly what to do with that scripture in Philippians or Colossians 2. But I think knitting, I don't know, some of you ladies could help me. That's where the mom used to make Africans. Is that knitting? Well, my grandma used to have some single knitting or embroidery. And I used to have it. I think Jennifer got that little thing I kept my grandma. She could do one side of that thing, some of the prettiest decorations you ever seen, and never be one show the thread on the other side. You knit together. Huh? I guess you can consider that knitting. We don't want to see the other side of you. We just see the knitted side. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand up on your feet. This was not meant to correct you. I want you to understand that real, 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 although it may be some correcting things in it. But this is meant to make you understand what part you play. Pastor has been preaching about faith, and we need to hear it, and I need to hear it. And I heard him say some things about it, kind of prompted me to go this direction because we want to get it done. Have all the faith in the world and walk in disagreement, you ain't going to make it happen. I mean, you can have perfect faith, but you ain't going to make it happen if you're not walking in love one toward another. You should sing a little song, and I'll fucking remember the words to it, and I'll be all right. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Help me a little bit. And I see in you the glory of my King. I love you with the love of the Lord. Get a hold of somebody's hand. Cross aisles, if you have to, sing them look in their face and sing it, and sing it to them. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Sing it now. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Lift your hands and praise Him now. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Now, I want you to lift your hands and praise Him. That's what I want you to do. Amen. I want you to give Him praise and glory, and tell Him, Lord, whatever it takes to get me to where I'm flowing as I should be, I'm willing to do it. I will do it. Hallelujah. I will do it. I will do it. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have much here tonight. I'm assuming everybody's saved. And how many of you know you're saved? Hold your hands up. Wave it. I mean, I want to make sure I don't miss nothing. There's somebody in here that has a problem in your back, and it plays tricks on you. It goes from one side to the other. It almost debilitates you. Sometimes you need, God wants to heal you tonight. He wants to heal you of that. I want you to come. Don't make me beg. You don't bother you all the time, but when it does, it bothers you. You've got to heal you back. If you think it's you can come. Amen. All right. Now, we know Kevin and Angela, did you tell me this? Did you ever tell me? Okay, because I want to make sure I stay.